Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And at 25 to 9, there is so much sport, I don't know how we're going to fit it all in. Here's Darren.
We'll manage it somehow, Audrey. Thank you and a very good morning. What a busy day in the world of sport. We're going to be going live to Rome very shortly to hear about Ciara McGeehan's gold medal shortly. But first, our first GAA draw of the summer here on Morning Ireland. It's become a bit of an annual tradition now. And today we have the draw for the quarterfinals of the Tailteann Cup. Joining me in studio today, GAA President Gearlaid Burns and Fergal McGill, the GAA's Director of Club, Player and Games Administration. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us here on the programme this morning. Just to remind you at home as well, not only can you listen to us on the radio, we're on the television as well, on the News Now channel. And just to explain the format, the group winners here, which are Kildare, Sligo, Fermanagh and Down, they're in ball one and they'll be paired against the preliminary quarterfinal winners from the weekend. That's Antrim, Limerick, Laois and Wicklow. And the draw, as always, subject to the avoidance of repeat pairings, and because there's a very high chance of that here this morning, we'll be having a pre-draw to the main event itself. So Fermanagh have played Laois and Wicklow already in this competition, so the only counties they can meet are Limerick and Antrim. So Limerick and Antrim, they're going to go into bowl number two. First of all, Fergal, you're going to pull one of these and they will have to travel to Fermanagh. So in your time, please, if you can pull the first county first, please.
This is to see who plays, who travels to Fermanagh in our first fixture, and it will be their nearish neighbours, Antrim.
Fantastic. So Fermanagh and Antrim, that's our first pairing, and then we're going to move on then. Fergal's going to put the remainder of those preliminary quarterfinal winners into that bowl two and give them a good turn spin for us there, Fergal. And Uachtaráin, you're going to pull our first home team. So these are the Tailteann Cup group winners. First one out. Home advantage again for these counties.
Sligach.
Sligo, Markovic Park.
And Sligo, Darren, will be playing Limerick.
Sligo and Limerick, Markovic Park. And these matches will be next weekend, won't they, Fergal?
They will indeed, yeah. Darren, yep.
They'll be confirmed, the venues and the times, etc., a little bit later on today. Right. So this is our third pairing in this draw.
Andun.
Down. So Newry next weekend will be the destination for which county, Fergal?
Down have been drawn to play against Wicklow, but that leaves us with Kildare and Laois in the final bowl, and Kildare have already met Laois.
And that means, Fergal?
That means that we have to... Sorry, Kildare have not met Laois. That's my mistake. Sorry, Darren.
So Down will play Wicklow?
Down will play Wicklow. Yes.
In the
Sorry, okay. Apologies for that.
No worries. We should remind everyone at home, this is all subject to repeat pairing, so we're having to be very careful, Gearlaid. Mm. Our final drum in the bowl is, well, we should know this, who this is. It is...
Kildare.
Kildare. So Kildare will be at home too, Fergal.
They will play their neighbours, Darren.
And it is Laois. Fantastic. Great draw. I'm going to go through those again very quickly. We've Fermanagh and Antrim, Sligo and Limerick, Down and Wicklow, and Kildare and Laois. Fantastic. Those games next weekend, you're going to confirm the times later on, Fergal?
We'll confirm the times later on.
Yeah, and you're back again next weekend, another draw. We have the semi-finals of Tailteann.
Semi-finals of Tailteann and then the preliminary quarter-finals for the...
It's getting serious, isn't it? Delighted to have Gearlaid Burns here in studio with us, Gearlaid. And I guess, first of all, Ciara McGeehan, you know her well. Are you happy to see her pull a bit of a camogie move last night on the track in Rome?
She's so proud of her camogie routine. I'm sure Brian Malloy and her friends in camogie were absolutely delighted to hear that match. And she really, really is proud of the fact that she learned everything that she learned in her youth in camogie, and proud of her GAA roots as well. So it was fantastic. We were all watching it and all just hoping that she was going to make that break, and it was an incredible victory for her.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get on to matters a bit closer to home for you, and there's so much to talk to you about. But I guess one thing, from being on the ground week in, week out at games, the split season, Gearlaid, it is the hot topic at the moment. You've had, 4 months now, mm-hmm. maybe, getting your feet warm under the table as Uachtaráin, mm-hmm. Camogie Scale. How do you feel the split season is working?
Well, the split season was a compromise, Darren, to the fact that our club players felt so strongly about the way the season had been structured that they actually set up an organisation called the Club Players Association to address that. And it was really to answer those concerns that they had, to give certainty to club players that they would know, you know, the championship is on a particular date, that date is not going to be moved, regardless of how your own county does. And I think that if you look, for example, I was reading the programme yesterday at the Munster final. In July alone, last year, there was 1,174 games played in Munster, club games. And once the All-Ireland final's over, if you are a dual county, you have to allow 14 weekends to allow you for your football and your hurling. And we always have to have an eye on our dual counties because they are not a nuisance or a hassle, but they are the aspiration we should all want to attain, that we should have a genuine football and hurling set up in every county. So we have to be mindful of all of that, but we are not blind and deaf to the calls that people would like to have later All-Irelands. And tonight in Limerick, we begin the consultation process again with our provinces. We're going to do one in each province over the next 2 weeks. We're going to meet all of our counties and we're going to listen to what they have to say, and who knows, it might be tweaked for next year.
So there could be tweaks to the current championship for 2025.
Yes, that's something that we are looking at. We will always listen to our members because, remember, we are a democratic organisation. The split season and the condensed season were brought in as a result of pressure from counties and pressure from club players. And, you know, as an Armagh person, we have suffered from the fact that you can't have replays. I mean, we have had 4 penalty shootouts. Imagine having your son on the team and being in our house the day after it, or being on the field in Clonus when we've lost 2 penalty shootouts in a row and listening to people. So we're not blind or deaf to that. We will listen to people. But remember, I suppose there's 2 things here, Darren. There is the split season, which I think people do understand, but there's also the condensed nature of the current season. And I think that's maybe what's causing a little bit of anxiety, that games are coming so thick and fast that there isn't time to absorb maybe the mesmerising nature of some of the games because you're straight into the next. And people actually forget. I think maybe the Under-20 Football Championship was almost under the radar. And yet the other side of it is the Under-20 Hurling Championship was one of the best championships we've ever had.
Jared, the other talking point, and I know you haven't spoken publicly about this just yet, is the ticket price increase for the All-Ireland finals up to €100 for the stand tickets for the 3 stands. Are you pricing supporters out of the market with that ticket increase?
Well, I understand that there would be certainly eyebrows raised about that. It was a very big move for us to go to 3 figures. But remember, it's the first time since 2018 that we've changed that. It's only the second time, actually, since 2011. We all know where inflation has gone. But I think our members understand that 83% of everything that we earn goes is ploughed right back into the game. We have 350 coaches. We're spending 7 million on those at the minute. That's going to go up to 12 million. We're increasing that number. We're actually giving them better terms. Over the next year, we're going to spend 5 million on our county grounds. And last year, we gave 3 million to our clubs in grants. That's going up to 4.5 million next year, and the year after up to 5 million. And remember, of course, if you have a child and you're bringing your child to all the National League matches, it's free into that. It was only a €5 for a juvenile to get into all of the games in all of the championship matches so far. So, for example, if for Armagh, I think if you have one child, it's only been €20 you've had to pay so far. It is quite good value, but we do understand that €100 is a lot for an All-Ireland ticket.
Before we let you go, I know you enjoyed the Munster hurling final yesterday. Mm-hmm. Did you raise an eyebrow when Declan Hannan thanked the 53 members of the backroom staff with Limerick?
Well, I did clarify that with Paul Foley, the hardcore rep from Limerick, because I knew he didn't mean that. And I can tell you, if you're a captain up there, because I'm standing beside them and I know how nervous it can be, there aren't 53. I can reassure people around the country, if you're trying to get up to that level, it's not. I think it's 37 of a panel and 16 of a back room.
Okay.
So he looked at the whole family, all as one, 53 people, just to reassure people that if you want to get to the level of Limerick, you don't have to have 53 people.
Time to split it into 2.
Yeah, maybe. Jared Burns, Fergal McGill, thanks for joining us. I know we'll see plenty of you over the course of the next couple of weeks. Let's turn our attention to that other big story. Kieran McGeehan, 1500 metre gold medalist. Greg Allen was on duty last night on commentary. He joins us now from the Olympic Stadium. Greg, you've been following Kira for a long, long time. That must have felt good last night.
Oh, look, when you look back on the career of Kieran McGeehan, you know, it's a 14-year career, going back to a World Junior Silver in 2010. Along the way, some devastating setbacks. She had nearly 3 years out with injury. The coaching of the late Gerry Kiernan picked her up off the floor. I think actually when she first asked Gerry to coach her, she asked him, did he take on hopeless cases? And Gerry took her to European bronze in 2016. Then she decided she needed a stronger athlete training environment, so she moved to Manchester, and that's when we saw her kick on to a new level. 2022, silver in the Europeans behind Laura Muir. Last year's fourth in the World Championships. And then actually at the start of the season, she smashed her Irish 800 metre record at 32 years of age and smashed it by a huge margin. So we knew she had form. And then last night, she had to cope with being favoured last night, but showed such composure, especially in that boxed in situation coming off the final bend. But even if she wasn't boxed in, there was so much running in her legs, I think she would have found her way to a first ever gold medal in a major championship. Just wonderful to witness.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Greg, we're out of time. Just briefly, can we win another gold medal tonight?
Yeah, I think wearing green glasses, we're looking at Rashida Adeleke possibly being favoured, but I think Natalia Kaczmarek of Poland, the both world and European reigning silver medalist, has beaten Adeleke in both of those finals in the last 2 years. She is the real favourite. The question is, will Adeleke pull out the type of performance that we saw when she was the shock winner of the NCAA Championship, the American Collegiate Championship last year, which was a deeper field in depth than the one she's facing tonight. So she's well capable of winning the gold, and it's all about the gold tonight for Adeleke. If she doesn't medal, it'll be a shock. And I think Charlene Mosley can make it top five, and you just never know with that home strength that she has, straight strength that she has, could she push herself onto the podium?
Well, you can watch and listen to Greg. 400 metre final tonight, 8:50, RT2. We'll all be glued in.
Fingers and toes, everything crossed. Darren, thank you very much.